The format of this meeting is 2 10-minute speakers followed by our information break, and then our main speaker who will speak for 30 minutes. Our first 10-minute speaker is Shannon.
My name is Shannon. I'm an alcoholic. First and foremost, Cynthia, thank you for allowing me to come here and be a servant tonight. As a few of you know, I moved to Jersey about 5 weeks ago, and this is the first... Sorry, Peggy. And this is the first time I've been back, and I just want to say I feel very welcome here tonight. I had a lot of people come up to me and give me a hug and shake my hand and really welcome me here, and that's a pretty far stretch from when I first came in here 3.5 years ago. I wanted nothing to do with this group. I honestly, God, I didn't. You know, I was sitting here thinking... My sponsor and my grand sponsor are both here tonight, and it's funny. I started working with this guy, and his sponsor suggested that he start coming to this group. And he thought he'd be a good fit, and I remember on the way over there, he said, "I think it'd be a good fit for you too." And from Brooklyn to Manhattan's a long ride, and sitting in the front seat, I'm going off. I'm like, I don't have to do this. There's nowhere in the literature says I have to join the group that you do. And that group's all a bunch of hypocrites. And, you know, that's BS. And as we got closer and closer, my voice is getting louder and louder. And before you know it, I'm actually thinking about getting physical with him. You can't make me do this, yada, yada, yada. And I didn't actually say it, but I thought it, you know, on the way here. And isn't it funny? Mostly everything that I fought on this journey thus far, the very things that saved my life. I was told a long time ago that the day that I get well is the day that I'll stop taking my own advice. And isn't that true? I wanted nothing to do with this group, and this group saved my life. The people in this group, there are some people, as I'm sitting out here talking right now, I'm looking around, that have invited me out to the diners and flew to Vegas with me. So this place has a very special place in my heart today. So I thank you guys for allowing me to show up, and you taught me how to show up, and you taught me how to be a servant. You taught me what it meant to truly do service work, and I only have 10 minutes tonight, and you know, usually it takes about an hour and a half just to get to the third grade in my story. So I'm gonna do my best to what I'm gonna smash home tonight, if you will, is to talk about what it's like for a guy like me who's been stumbling in and out of this thing called Alcoholics Anonymous for many years, thinking that I'm surrendered, thinking that I'm experiencing this thing called freedom, and then leaving Alcoholics Anonymous over and over and over again. I'm a guy, as a few people in here know, and I want to thank the guys, I see them out there, that actually rode up here with me today. That's I think there's something magical about getting in a car and you know, a couple guys that you're sponsoring, or a couple guys that are on this journey with you, and we ride up here and listening to, you know, meditation music and stuff, Metallica, and but it is. It's something kind of neat when they ask me questions, and I actually sometimes know the answer, and if I don't, I pretend I do. But I've been bouncing in and out of AA since 1988. And I look back, and that's a long time. I'm a guy who, I had 7.5 years sober, and I picked up a drink again. And I got to tell you, it happened right here in New York City. I'm originally from Rochester, New York, truly upstate, not Westchester like you guys think, or Washington Heights. truly upstate. It's about 5.5, 6 hours north of here, and I came down to New York City with, at the time, I had about six and a half, almost 7 years sober. But see, here's the problem for a guy like me, is I had about 7 years sober, but I really never had an experience. I was pumped full of a lot of information. Guys were sick enough to ask me to sponsor them. In the process, if you're a guy like me and you're an AA and you've put the drink down, you put down the very thing that's kind of treated this thing called alcoholism, and I put that down, if I'm not treating spirit and I'm not truly treating what's really wrong with me, I'm a guy that's an AA with many years sober, and what I'll do is I'll start looking around for relief in AA. And I'm not going to get into details, but some of you probably know what I'm talking about. And I've heard a lot of God's kids in the process from that. And it's funny, as of today, because I've done the steps, truly done the steps, and I've truly surrendered to this deal, I do my best to protect you women today in Alcoholics Anonymous. I really do. You're welcome here. You belong here just like I do. And I really, I'm not a bouncer. I don't run around. I mean, I can be. I mean, if you want to, we can play that game too. But totally kidding. But I really do. I do my best, especially with the guys that I sponsor and guys that are in my home group. I truly try to do my best to seek out and make sure that I'm protecting God's kids here, men, male and female. I think that's very important to me. And what a far stretch that is, you know. And you know, I come down to New York and I'm sponsoring a few guys from upstate, and I got a lot of information. I mean, I can spew off stuff from the big book on page this it says that, and page that it says this, and you know, and I can quote some good speakers, and I sound really good. You know, I sound really good in Alcoholics Anonymous. In fact, I sound so good, at times people would actually ask me to speak at their home group. You know, and I'd go there and let them know that they're not doing it right. They need to do it this way. And, you know, and I continue to get sicker and sicker and sicker in Alcoholics Anonymous. See, because the problem is abstinence isn't the solution to my illness. In fact, my alcoholism begins when I put the drink down. You've taken away my best friend. You've taken away the medicine, right? The medicine that treats this imaginary hole in my soul that my ego dug. You know, and I spent my whole life trying to fill something that wasn't, there was never even a hole there. But felt like it, right? And, you know, and I come down to big Manhattan, New York, and I'm this little guy from Rochester and had a good paying job and I'm sober and I like what Bill says in his story. I had arrived. And boy, I got to tell you guys, after 7.5 years of not doing this, you know, it just hit me. One of the first things my sponsor told me when I stumbled in here the last time, and it still holds true today, he said, "Buddy, you can't live a spiritual life and do what you want. There's a price to pay for that." And I'm a prime example of that. I can't come up here and talk about God and then hurt his kids on the side. It doesn't work. You know what I mean? And after 7.5 years, I found myself in this place called the Ganzevoort in Manhattan, New York. And, you know, Mr. AA with a lot of information and a lot of nothing. And I realized I did just enough in Alcoholics Anonymous to have another drink. And I was up at this club with some coworkers, and I had the kind of a suit on like I have today and a shiny tie. And I remember going up to the bar and saying, "You know what? This isn't so bad. You can do this." And I remember picking up a drink and there, I mean, no defense whatsoever. "No, yeah, you think this is really a good idea?" Nothing. Nothing. And I sucked on that gin and tonic like it had never left. And see, this is funny, and it's kind of humorous, but I've always been a dreamer. And it's funny, as I'm sipping on this drink and I'm starting to feel the effects produced by alcohol, and I'm looking out at this crowd, and I start to kind of think, you know what? I'm a pretty classy guy, you know. I could see myself maybe bumping into some rich Jewish woman from the Upper West Side, and you know, she'll want to give me her will, and you know, her rich dogs, and all I'll have to do is walk her Yorkies and just, you know, spend all of her money, and then maybe on the way to the bathroom I'll bump into some VP of a Fortune 500 company, and he'll be like, "Oh, where have you been all my life? I've been looking for a guy like you to," and it's funny, but I really believe this stuff. I can't differentiate the truth from the false. I really believe the stuff that the ego's punking me with. I really believe this stuff. And as I'm having these big dreams and how life's going to be great in Manhattan, 2 weeks later, I was holed up in my apartment in Bed-Stuy drinking Georgie vodka. That's how I know this illness is progressive. It picked, because before I drank that 7.5 years before that, I was alone. I was scared. I was frightened. I was depressed. It was dark. I drank alone. And after 7.5 years, it only took 2 weeks, and I was right back where I picked up 7.5 years before that, wanting to die. And for the next 8 months, I wouldn't wish that on anyone. I wouldn't wish that on anyone. And I crawled in here one last time, hopefully in Alcoholics Anonymous, again, I only have 10 minutes, so I wish I could get a little bit more detail, but you guys get the gist of this thing. Is this time around, I ran into a guy, and he truly showed me how to surrender. You know, he got me into steps, but he started taking me out to detox centers. He started taking me into rehabs. He started taking me to functions. He started to, see, guys, he didn't tell me how to surrender. He showed me. I watched what he did. And I guess I got to a point that I was beaten so bad that I just followed suit. I just followed suit. And because of that, I can stand up here today and tell you guys, not intellectually, not cognizantly, I can tell you guys from a place of love that I am a free man today. I truly am. It still baffles me to this day how amazing my life is today. And I'll end with this. I still get goosebumps when I say this. And my sponsor told me something that night in Brooklyn when he saw me, and I was in such a dark place I wanted to kill myself. And he said, I'll tell you what, kid, if you truly surrender, you truly show up out here with the rest of us surrendered guys, and you truly do this deal, all that stuff that you got going on inside of you, all that brokenness, that darkness, all that depression, that's going to become your greatest asset. Isn't that true? Thank you.
Our second 10-minute speaker is Melissa.
Hi, I'm Melissa, alcoholic. So I have 10 minutes, and I really hope that I can say something that helps somebody in here. So much has happened. I have been sober for 3.5 years. This is my home group. The story starts like this. So, and by the way, I didn't really know how the story started until the longer I got sober, because I couldn't see really how my life played out. I could trace my alcoholism back to kindergarten. And I misbehaved, and then I got put at the bad kid table, which was all boys that I hated that, like, you know, made fun of me. And so I was like, my life is miserable because these are the kids that make fun of me, and now I have to sit with them. And I would go home, and I never said anything to anybody about it, meaning my mom. And then as elementary school went on, I started getting picked on. And I had a couple girls bully me, and I would go home, and I felt very anxious, but I didn't know it was anxiety because I was only in the fourth grade. And I tried to sit next to my mother, and she kept being like, what's wrong with you? What's wrong with you? And I couldn't say it. I couldn't say anything. And then I said, you know, Heather is picking on me. And her reaction was, well, what did you do? And I was like, okay, so I'm never going to tell my mother anything again, because that's the reaction I got. So then, therefore, I just held everything in. 10th grade, I used to, you know, go home and sleep. As soon as I got out of school, I would just sleep the whole night through, wake up, eat something, and then go back to school. Miserable. I started hanging out with a crowd that was like a cool crowd, but then they made fun of me, so the whole thing was miserable. So at 16 is when my drinking started. As soon as I drank, I was the only one who got completely wasted, threw up in a bed, head spinning. And I, you know, I had the thoughts, I'm never going to do that again. Well, I did, obviously. And so my drinking escalated. I knew I was an alcoholic right away, even in the 12th grade. I was called alcoholic. My heart knew I was alcoholic, but I did not care. I loved it so much. And, you know, my drinking was heavy, and then it led to other products. And I escalated with that, and you know, those products are what took me down, and if it wasn't, I wouldn't have let go of the alcohol. So it really interrupted my drinking. I would have held the alcohol as long as I could because I loved it so, so much. And I really thought if I could not do those other things and drink, I'm fine with that. Even though my life was dramatic and a mess, and I was okay with that. So I went away. I had to get removed from it because I could not stop on my own. Had to get removed. I had 4.5 years clean. I did not do a program. And what happened was, is I did not know when my voices started in my head that that was alcoholism. I literally thought that I was losing my mind. I had no idea that this was alcoholism even until a couple of years ago when I traced it back. So I obviously went to a doctor and was like, give me something. I'm like, I'm crazy. So I ended up, when I got something, and it was a narcotic, and I bring this up because some people don't want to tell their doctors they're an alcoholic, and mine were specialists, and I was given something that is a narcotic that absolutely is non-addictive. I abused it. It was like 20 pills at a time, so, you know, because he's like, you're an anomaly, and I was like, I'm an addict, alcoholic. And so what happened was that woke my disease up. And I'll never forget it. I felt elated. I felt that inside, I felt that feeling again. And I was like, I'm not going to tell anybody that this happened because I have this secret pill that's prescribed to me. I'm allowed to take it, and it's amazing. So a month and a half later, I was drinking. You know, classic, like, just a spritzer, no big deal. Two bottles that night and anything else I could find. And so that's how it began. Called my boss at 5 a.m, like, you know. And that's just how it went. I was out for a year and a half after that, hard, real hard. And went away again. And, you know, just to speed it up a little bit, still took these pills. I now enter Atlanta Group. I had nowhere else to go. I heard of the group before. I did not want to come. It was very serious, and I saw those sponsor signs, and I was like, it's crazy. So I ended up coming here, and I got a sponsor right away. But what happened was I still was using, okay? So I partly thought I was sober, partly no, I wasn't. And what I want to tell for the new person is everything that everyone tells you here is the truth. The book, the steps, everything is exactly the truth. It won't work for you if you lie or you use. So I, you know, had 6 months, 7 meetings, 5 commitments, gratitude list, calling my sponsor, still using, okay? So, lost my 4th step book. And then what happened was it crashed and burned with another big relapse. And then at that point, I finally surrendered. My body shut down. I was having seizures. I mean, it got really bad. So I surrendered. There was a couple of people who told me, you're not done. Go back out there. And then I got full of pride, like, I'll show you. So I resumed with my step work and working with my sponsor. And I was, you know, so that was the physical bottom. And so what happened was I had 9 months now. I have no job, and I'm spiritually bankrupt. I'm talking the worst pain of my life. That spiritual bankruptcy was worse than my physical bottom. It was so painful, and I really didn't think there was going to be a light at the end of the tunnel. And I just kept trudging. I kept fighting. I was a very unwillful sponsee for a while. And I just kept doing what I was told. And little by little, things started getting restored. So my life has started to get restored. I got a job. Things were picking up. Doing the step work, the 9th step, all the miracles, they all come true. Everything comes true that you hear from up here. I used to listen to speakers for so long and I just was like, shut up, because it just sounded like it was such a repetitive story, and it was old to me, and I really didn't feel true hope. So life was getting better, and then what happened was, actually a couple of months ago, I had a different kind of bottom, and this was like a more mental bottom, you know, because we're spiritually, physically, and mentally, you know, addicted and diseased. So I started realizing what my self-love worth was. And again, I really didn't know what was going on. My inventory started becoming all fears. I wasn't used to that, afraid of everything, afraid of losing everything, which I also learned all my outside stuff doesn't belong to me anyway. I am given that by God, and it's his gifts to me. And if he takes them away, that's his business, and I choose to believe I'm going to get an upgrade. So so I realized this, and it's a little bit easier for me to let it go. And there was a night I called my sponsor, and I had this thought in my mind for the first time in so long, I don't want to do this anymore. I don't want to fight this fight. What's the point? And I'm sober. This is at 3 years. So she always happens to give me, you know, the perfect direction. And what happened was I listened to a talk on AA about self-love. And what this disease really is an inside job. Once the substance is removed and your life starts coming back, it's really working and repairing yourself from the inside, and I'm still learning to do that. And but life has never been the way it used to, and my worst days now were my best days then, and I'm just going to keep going. And for anyone new, just do everything that you're told, stomp your feet, you know, make a stink, but just do it, because it really, really works. And that's all I have. Thank you.